You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. If you read Reina Grande's memoir from a few years ago about being separated from her parents in Mexico and then later running across the U.S. border undocumented, that was when she was 9.5 years old, you will want to know that she has written what we can call the rest of the story. The new book is titled A Dream Called Home. It is a sequel to her award-winning original memoir titled The Distance Between Us. And on this Valentine's Day, when we focus so much on love in so many different ways, I think Reina's story is an important one for us to spend time with. So it's a privilege to welcome you back to Insight. Reina, glad to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Those book titles are powerful statements about your life.
Yes. The Distance Between Us, which was the first memoir, captures the many kinds of distance that separated me from my parents. And the first was a geographical distance when they immigrated and left me behind in Mexico. And then there was the emotional distance that was created because of family separation. And then there were other distances like language. Once I learned English and my parents didn't, language became a distance. My assimilation and acculturation became a distance. My education also became a distance when I ended up going to university when my parents only went to elementary school. So that's where the title came from, The Distance Between Us. And the new book, A Dream Called Home, I write about my search for a home, for a place to belong. And I had been dreaming about a home since I was a child when my parents immigrated. That was my biggest dream, was to one day have a home. And in this new book, I write about the search for it and the realization that the only person who could ever give me a home was me.
I think that's where the framing of today said so much about love, because we learn as we grow up that love and pain go together and that struggle and freedom can go together. And in learning to love yourself, what have you put in place about there and here, distance and closeness, and the coming into oneself that I think is the bigger issue that supersedes anything that immigration divides?
Yeah, I think learning to love myself has helped me to heal the little girl in me that was abandoned by her parents, because I grew up with that image of myself. You know, I was the parentless child, the motherless child, the orphan in my hometown. People could be very cruel to kids who go through this experience of being left behind. And I grew up with a very low self-esteem. You know, I felt unloved. I felt unwanted. And it took me a long time to realize that my parents leaving me was an act of love. You know, they left me because they were trying to find something better for me. But it took me a long time to realize that, because as a child, I just knew they had left and they hadn't taken me with them. So it really affected the way I saw myself. And also, once I got here and I realized that immigration had driven a wedge between us, and it took so much effort to constantly try to reconnect, my self-esteem didn't really improve. You know, I still felt that distance. I still felt unwanted. And it also played a big part on the way I interacted with other people, with relationships that I had with other men. So it took a long time. And I can say, I think now at my age, I finally realize, you know, that I need to love myself and I need to heal from all of those experiences in order to let go of what that initial abandonment did to me.
How much did you watch the scenes and the sounds from the border over the last few months, from the caravans to the arrivals to the protests to the separations, mm-hmm. and some of those scenes of incarceration that we saw as families were divided.
Yeah, it's really hard to watch that. You know, it's really hard to see what families are going through. I find it very difficult to see the way children are treated and how they're torn away from their parents. For me, like, it just brings back some really bad memories. And I find it really heartbreaking that this is happening to so many families. And I just think about the lasting trauma that these children are going to have for the rest of their lives.
There is something called immigrant trauma.
Yes.
It's something you didn't know anything about. What have you learned about to what degree and in what ways it stays with your life and with you for the rest of your life?
Yeah. No, I don't think we ever get over it. We definitely learn how to live with it, and we learn to overcome it at times, but it always comes back. And it's been really helpful for me because when I write, I'm able to finally find the words to describe how I felt. You know, when I started writing when I was 13, I didn't know how to express how I felt. I just knew there was a lot of turmoil inside. I didn't even know the word trauma, the word depression, or PTSD, anxiety, all of those words. That vocabulary was not mine. And I learned to express my feelings through stories. And that's how stories helped me to cope with all the traumatic events in my life. And now as an adult, I'm starting to read more articles, more essays about what I experience. And I'm able to finally find the terms for all of that happened to me. Like, one of the latest terms that I've discovered is subtractive bilingualism.
Wow.
I've been writing about that. I actually just read, I wrote an essay that's going to be published by CNN. Where I talk about my experiences with U.S. schools and trying to learn English and being shamed and threatened into learning the language and being forced to give up my native tongue, and how little by little my Spanish was replaced by English, to the point where I began to feel ashamed of my mother because she never learned English. Mm-hmm. And I never wrote in Spanish after I was 13 and I learned English. I have never, in the past 30 years, never written in Spanish again. I failed to teach my children Spanish because of the trauma of being an English learner and being shamed about speaking Spanish. And I came upon that term, subtractive bilingualism. And I realized, like, now I have the word to describe what happened to me.
You're listening to best-selling author Reina Grande. Her latest memoir is titled A Dream Called Home. It picks up from the earlier book about her life titled The Distance Between Us. She has received several awards for her work. She has a BA in creative writing and film and video from UC Santa Cruz and an MFA in creative writing from Antioch University. I remember you saying that as a young writer being encouraged, your teachers said to you, write the book that you wanted to read. Write the book that you were looking for that you couldn't find. Has it occurred to you that so many young people and families caught up in the immigration battles at the border right now will look to many books, including yours, that are being written right now with your voice from the earlier generation experience, as healing and helpful to them?
Yeah, I think that it's important for people who go through these experiences to be able to see themselves in stories, you know, to see themselves in books. It's such a powerful experience because you realize that your experience does matter, that you do exist. And more powerfully is the realization that you're not alone.
When a family has been separated in these circumstances, like yours was, to what degree do you think it can be put back together again?
Well, I think it depends on the family. I think some families manage to put themselves back together and to work hard at staying together and overcoming that separation. Other families like mine are not able to do that. You know, my family, we were dealing with alcoholism in the family. We were dealing with some bad things like violence, you know, a history of violence in the family. And we were not very successful at putting ourselves back together.
A lot of the second book, in fact, has you working through the relationships with your parents. Mm-hmm. But the relationships with your grandmother, too, mothers.
Yeah.
There's a vivid scene in which you're told now as a young adult the truth about how one of your grandmothers ended up becoming the wife of your grandfather. And that was a shocking piece of the past, wasn't it?
It was very shocking because my maternal grandmother, when I was growing up with her, she used to go visit my grandfather's grave every week. And she had a photo of him on her altar. And he was surrounded by candles and flowers. And she was so devoted to him. And I thought, wow, they must have had such a beautiful, you know, love. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in college, I went to visit my grandma in Mexico. And she told me the story. And she said that my grandfather had basically put a knife to her throat and said, you know, you gotta be my woman or I'm gonna kill you. And it was so traumatic for me to realize that that was their story. And here I was imagining something completely different. And in that Dream Called Home, I write a lot about these stories, you know, that I write about my mother's story of how she ended up with my father, which was in a very violent way as well. And then I write about my own love experiences and how they also ended up in bad ways and the hard lessons that I learned from those experiences.
You're extremely truthful in almost a raw way, Raina.
Yes, I sometimes I feel that maybe I expose myself too much. But at the same time, for me, writing memoir, it's not about, you know, writing the good things. When I write memoir, it's for me to try to understand the bad stuff, you know, my mistakes, write about my mistakes and what I learned from them, and to be really honest with the bad choices that I made, try to be honest with the situations I put myself in or I found myself in, and then how I struggled to get out of those situations. Because, you know, I don't write to tap myself on the back and say, oh, look at me, I've done so many great things, because I've done a lot of bad things too.
Raina, what's your thought about a wall? And how might a wall have changed your family history?
Yeah, well, I don't believe in walls. I don't think that they work. I think they send the wrong message. But also, most importantly, I think walls just force us to avoid looking at the situation and really addressing the situation. You know, we look the other way and pretend that nothing is going on that other side of the wall. So to me, it's more important to look at what is the reality? What's going on? How did we contribute to it? How can we help? What are the things that we can do as a society to make sure that we're not seeing millions of people who are fleeing their homes? We really have to ask ourselves, what can we do to help them stay home? What can we do to stop creating all of the instability that is causing this situation? And a wall is just a Band-Aid, and it's not going to address the problem.
So as I look at you with a ruby red heart pendant around your neck, and we're talking on Valentine's Day, in these stories that have so much pain and trauma and sadness, is love the most powerful force still?
I think so. I think love has the power to make us be better people. You know, when we love others, when we love ourselves, when we love our planet, when we love our community and our country, and when we are guided by love, we can be more compassionate. We can be more forgiving. We can be more generous.
Thank you so much. I always appreciate the time that we have with you.
Thank you.
And happy Valentine's
Day. Thank you. You too.
Reina Grande is the author of The Distance Between Us and now its sequel, A Dream Called Home. There's more about her and her work, and you can hear our first conversation about her first memoir linked to our website, capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.